I like a good fight scene. How many of you guys like seeing a well-put-together fight scene? A few of you? I see a few fans of action movies. You know, I've learned a lot from action movies. For instance, you never want to go up against Jackie Chan if he has a coat and a ladder. Man, he is just amazing. I like fight scenes a lot more than real fights. Real fights just, I don't know, they're not as cool, are they? A couple weeks ago, though, Angela said, "Hey, we should get a punching bag." Well, I don't know. We need a punching bag. Where would we even put it? What would we do with it? She said, "Well, the thing is, I want to hit something, and I don't want it to be you." So we got a punching bag, and we got the punching, you know, boxing gloves, the hand wraps, all the equipment we need. We had to get those boxing gloves because at least my hands, weak and fleshy. You know, we got the bag, got it set up. I was like, "Oh, this is pretty awesome." Pop, pop, pop. Whew, okay, got to ice these things. Man, have you guys put on boxing gloves before? Hand wraps and everything? A couple of you, maybe? You know, when you get those on, your hands feel invincible. Man, you could hit anything with those. At least it feels like it. But boom! Ha! I didn't feel that. And I like to think that, get in there, got it against the bag, boom! Boom! Oh, I'm amazing! This is like Jet Li right here. We set up our punching bag very strategically in a room with no mirrors, so I don't have to see what I look like. You guys all just had to witness it. It's maybe not Jet Li quality, but if so, don't tell me. I'm happy with my own delusions. But isn't it nice to just get in there and, man, work out your aggression. Boom, boom, boom. Now, I know that personally, I sting like a butterfly and float like a bumblebee. I didn't say that wrong. That's just what I do. Not much sting, not great at floating. But maybe you guys are able to do it a little bit better. You know, when we fight, though, most of the time it's not a bloody nose type of deal. Most of our fights are not blow-up arguments where, man, you made me so mad. That's it. It's coming to blows. You know, if you ever see bar fights, people who, especially like college kids who are maybe somewhat well off, their kids are paying, their you know parents are paying for their school, and they're going to be in a fight. Like, oh man, it's on now. Hold me back, guys. Oh, no, hold me back. Hold me back, guys. You seriously need to hold me back. I didn't want to get in this fight. Yeah, hold me back. Oh man, I'm gonna. If my guys weren't holding me back, which why are you not holding me back, guys? You need to be in this with me. Hold me back. Okay, just hold my hand or something, please. Okay. Oh yeah. Well, he's about to hold me back. Otherwise, we would be on. Most of our fights do not come to that level. Most of our fights are arguments where, at the end, we say, you know, I just can't agree with you. I don't know. Maybe you even end friendships with it, although I found that the more often friendships end not with a big blow-up fight where you say, we have to just call things off, I can't ever talk to you again. More often with, you see them a little bit less often, share a little bit less with them, and over time, the friendship fades away until you say, hey, we're sending out Christmas cards again. Should we send one to them? Do we even see them in 2014? Do they even still live at this address? When's the last time we talked to them? I think, unfortunately, our spiritual life can sometimes be like that as well, that how we relate to God maybe is the way some people relate to their spouse, that a lot of married people, they have kind of the public face and they have their private relationship, that publicly, for most people, most couples, they try to put on a good face, that if they're fighting in public looks a lot different than fighting at home. For most of you fighting in public, you know, you want to look good for everyone else who might be around. So if you're shopping in Kohl's, you're not going to have the same type of argument that you have when you're at home. Say, honey, I was thinking, shouldn't we be getting going about now? Now, dear. Just let me try a couple more things. I want to find the right shirt. Yeah, but, honey, come on. We've been here for a while. Did you know you can shop online from home without me? honey, how much longer can we go? If you're at home, you can have words. I know maybe you have been in a situation before where you're fighting with a friend or with your spouse and you have somewhere you have to go. And so you hold hands and you smile and you try not to let the fight show through too much. Oh yeah, we're good. Yeah, good to be here. Yeah, we love it. Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah. You smile. You smile. You keep a good face on. Don't let anyone see. Maybe you just get to the point where your relationship slowly dies off through neglect. You stop paying attention and sharing with the other person the things you care about. The things that matter to you, you stop talking about. That you know your disagreements and you know that you're not willing to change and you don't think they're willing to change either. So you just stop talking to them. Maybe you give them the silent treatment. I don't think the silent treatment's actually very effective in a marriage. If you give someone the silent treatment, the problem is that if a guy gives his wife the silent treatment, she probably won't notice. And if a wife gives her husband the silent treatment, he's just not going to think it's a punishment, is he? Unfortunately, in our relationships, in our relationship with God, that's often the way it is for us. We end up giving God the silent treatment. We stop talking to him about the things that really matter to us. And we talk to him maybe about small things, little things, things out of habit. But we stop really trusting him with the cares of our life. In your bulletin, if you take notes, you notice the first section has two columns. First one says, what I pee. I know some of you are like, urine. Yeah, easy one. What I see. Oh, the back of someone's head, a cross, some lights, pastor goofing off. No, but if you fill in the blanks, it's going to be a little bit harder. First, what I pray about. What I pray about. This is just for you personally. What things do you normally pray about? In your prayer life, what do you pray about? You pray for your meals. You pray for maybe safe travel for your loved ones. Just jot down a few things, what you typically pray about. I'll give you a second while you're doing that. The second column, once you've written the first, write what I care about. What I care about. What things do you have weighing on your heart that you think about that you need help with that just mean a lot to you? And see how the two lists compare. What you pray about versus what you care about. While you're filling that in, I'll tell you a little story about a plant. Little plant living in an office. If this plant was in its own book, maybe it would be called The Lonely Leaf. Because this plant, although it was in a good-sized pot, had almost died. Broken off and left with a single leaf, maybe the size of a quarter or so, just sticking out of the dirt. Pushed off to the side in the office. Until one day, its owner went on vacation. That as he was gone, a coworker stopped by and thought, I bet I should water this plant while he's gone. So they gave it a little bit of water, moved it over by a window, cared for it during the week that its owner was on vacation. And over the week, a funny thing happened. That single leaf started again to grow. A little curl of green began to peek up out of the soil in the pot. Grew up a little branch, 2, 3, 4 leaves. Soon, the plant was filling the pot again, overflowing off the sides, because I think that's what those plants are supposed to do. Growing as it received care. When the owner came back, returned to his office, said, hey, what happened to my plant? How'd you get this to happen? I don't know. I thought, water it and give it some sun. I never tried that. I stuck it in the corner and left it for dead. For too many of us, our relationship with God ends up like that plant, left alone in a corner, neglected. That the things we care about, we don't pray about. Hopefully, for you, as you wrote the two lists, you were able to say, things I care about? Yes, see other list. That's exactly what I pray about. I pray about all the things that mean a lot to me, and I don't include a lot of extra prayers that don't really matter to me. I pray about what I care about. That is what God tells us to do. That as we pray, we should bring our cares to God. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is talking to his disciples about how to pray. Prayer is our first response to God. Prayer is rooted in this idea, like it says over and over in the Old Testament, to call on the name of the Lord, to cry out to God. Recognizing that God is the one who can take care of us. God is the one who can make a difference in our life. Rooted in that, we call on His name. And that is our first response of salvation. Calling out to God and saying, God, I need a Savior. When we pray, you're able to call on the name of the Lord. Jesus says this about prayer. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus speaks of prayer, how we are to pray, what our prayer should look like. You think of praying out to God, letting Him into your life and your situations. We know that God, although He is great and awesome in His power, has chosen to limit Himself in this, that He relies on the prayer of His people to direct His power, that the power of God is directed by the prayers of the saints. Yes, He can accomplish anything He wants, and yet He's willing to wait on our prayers to act, to move. In the Old Testament, I said, they call out to God that when oppressors come, they call on the name of the Lord. When sickness or famine comes, they call on the name of the Lord. I think of a schoolyard bully, a bigger kid grabbing someone's arm, twisting it behind their back and leaning them over, maybe over a toilet. Say uncle. This can all be over with. Just say uncle. I don't know how that started, what uncle it was that was known for being able to save little kids from bullies. But that's the role of prayer. It's knowing that our arm is being twisted and we need help. Not submitting to the danger that we face, but calling out to the one who can save us. As Jesus prays here, He gives us three major topics of prayer. Three major areas of prayer shown in the Lord's Prayer. Luckily, at least for my outline, they all start with the letter P. He begins the prayer with praise. He begins by praising God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father. We approach God not just as servants or slaves or even just as friends, but as sons and daughters. That as a father, God has a certain type of love for us. He cares for us in a way that He wouldn't care for those that are not His own. That He wants us to call on Him as Father. As a father myself, I know that it does affect my view. Becca is a beautiful three-year-old girl, a little angel in almost every way. Other three-year-olds are kind of bratty. Not Becca, though. Other three-year-olds are whiny, and they complain. They get tired and fussy. Now, I admit, Becca's not perfect, but she's a lot better than those other ones. If Becca is to get hurt or complain and cry out, I'll jump up, save her. Other three-year-olds, though, hey, kid, grow up. I've skinned my knee before. You'll be fine. Some kids. But being a father changes my view. I think of The Jungle Book. Have you seen the movie The Jungle Book, the Disney movie, the little cartoon about the boy who grows up and raised by wolves? In that movie, there are some elephants, a herd of elephants who march through like an army through the jungle, crushing everything. And when they stop for inspection, the head of the herd comes out and looks at each of the elephants. Hum, 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 hum. See, that haircut's not to regulation. Going down the line, inspecting them. Until he gets to the end, as for you, look down, his son. And the son, although there were complaints of all the other elephants, his son, yes, very good, good, carry on, yes. Keep your heels together, keep your trunk up, good, yes, you're looking great these days. His son gets special treatment. As sons and daughters of God, we receive special treatment from the Creator of the universe. We praise Him as our Father, God who has drawn near to us, our Father who is in heaven. Heaven is not a place on earth. Heaven is somewhere else. Heaven is separate. Stories about heaven or what heaven is like, questions about what do you think heaven will be, never start with, well, you know, I was at City Market, and did you ever notice between the bread aisle and the deodorant, there's like a little spot, heaven? It's like a little nook right in there. You guys ever been there? It's like aisle 27. You should definitely check it out. It's heaven is like actually middle of City Market. No, stories about heaven always start with a crash. A man laying in a coma. His heart stops three times. And when he awakes, I think I saw heaven. Or even just a question of, if you were to die and you were able to get up to heaven, what do you think it would be? What would you do there? What would that be like? No one ever starts their discussion of heaven of, I think we found the coordinates. If we just get a little bit bigger rocket, work out some bugs with life support system long term, we can go there. Everyone knows that heaven is somewhere else. And God, our Father in heaven, is separate from this world. And yet, as Father, He has chosen to draw near to us. That He has made Himself known and near to us. Jesus continues with praising God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Giving glory to God. Lifting up His name as holy. The word holy itself really means that it's separate, pushed aside from everyday things. It is set apart, just as God is set apart. That God's name is glorified, it is honored. That He is not like us, corruptible. That He is something else, something that we cannot by ourselves attain. His name is glorious. We don't have this as much today, but in the ancient world, in the context of the New Testament, and context of the Old Testament as well, names meant a lot more. It wasn't just, well, how do you identify somebody? You need to come up with some kind of series of sounds and letters to string together so we know who you're talking to, which is what we typically use them for today. You know, you go in to an office of any kind, they're like, all right, what's your name? Address? Phone number? All right, that's who you are. Your customer number 174-83-975-111 0000000-2105. You'll need that number. In the Old Testament time, in the time this was written, in the time of Jesus, names were imbued with authority. That they were something looked at as, you come as a representative of them? That means something. There aren't many names today that we look on with that type of honor. Even the name of a famous or a wealthy person, you think, okay, Bill Gates, that'd be cool. I mean, if you knew him, that'd be pretty cool. There's not a lot of honor, though, given to the Gates name. No one says, by the power of Bill, I come to you. In the name of Windows, I approach you today. The name does not have that respect and authority. But in the Old Testament, names were lifted up. And coming in the name of God, being able to lift up His holy name, knowing that we are a reflection of that name of God, lifting it up and praising it. Then we come to the second section of prayer, praying for provision. First praise and then provision. It says in verse 11, give us today our daily bread. We pray for our physical needs. We pray for the things that we need just to get through this life. For food, for shelter, for clothing, for healing. The things that, on the one hand, you could argue, well, I mean, there's going to be food in this world whether or not you pray. But we also know it is only by God's preserving hand that we are able to have the blessings of this day. And then he prays for spiritual needs. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That is a bold prayer, isn't it? Is that the type of forgiveness that you want in your life? Please forgive me as well as I forgive others. If you're going to pray a prayer like that, you might want to, just double check a few things first. Make sure that you've gone through and done a good job forgiving others. I like how he says, forgive us our debts. This makes me think of a study I saw done on Monopoly. They took games of Monopoly and they chose one player who got extra advantages, twice as much starting money, an extra die to cast, 3 instead of 2, double the money when you cross go. See how the game plays out. Well, of course, the player with the advantage got an early lead and would win the game. But what was interesting was not that the person who had the most money won. What was interesting is how they acted. Quickly into the game, they acted with more authority. Huh! You rolled only 2 dice again, I see. Oh, let's roll 3. Oh, 18! You guys can't even do 18, can you? Of course I can buy that. I have more money than anyone. And by the end, they attributed their victory not to the advantage they had received, but to the fact that, well, I just had a good strategy. You know, what I think to do is go around the board faster than everyone else, get more money than everyone else, buy all the properties, and bankrupt everyone. Isn't that what you guys did? Because it didn't work when you did it. Man, I do a good job. They found that people who were put in positions of authority and advantage were willing to push things farther and farther in their direction. But people who were at a disadvantage, people who were losing, were more and more willing to bend the rules, to cheat, to help others. I think that applies to us because as Christians, we are at a disadvantage. We cannot earn forgiveness for ourselves. And seeing the incredible disadvantage that we are at, we should be more and more willing to forgive others their debts. Forgive others for the wounds that we have received from them. To receive that same forgiveness from Christ that we have received. We pray for provision. And again we pray, lead us not into temptation. Our physical needs, our spiritual needs, spiritual protection. Lord, just keep my mind on the things above. Keep me from temptation. And that leads into the last section, which is perfection. Praise, provision, and then perfection. If we go back to verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And at the end of the prayer, deliver us from the evil one, or deliver us from evil. We pray that God transforms this world. That the sin, the sorrow, the sickness of today would one day be done away with. We pray for perfection to come. That we would see a taste of that today. That God's will would be made evident in this world. That He would use us. That's what we pray each Sunday here. That God would use us to reach the people of this world. That as Christians, the Holy Spirit within us would scream out, "You must share this message. This is truth. This is life." That God's kingdom would expand here on earth. That His will would be done, not in the imperfect way it is done here, where we know there is evil in this world. We know there are many things where we say, "Why, Lord? Why is this allowed?" And yet God's call has been, this world is allowed to remain the way it is, so that more and more people can come to Christ. That we endure evil and danger and suffering now, because as His people, we are working to expand His kingdom. That there is a day when evil will be done away with, when we will be ultimately delivered from evil. A great, but also a terrible day. We pray that God's kingdom would come. That His will would be done here as it is in heaven. A prayer of fear and a prayer of rejoicing. Lord, let us reach our neighbors before that day. But Lord, have that day come quickly. Jesus shares how to pray with praise, praying for provision, praying for the perfection of this world. If you look back up at the list you made at the beginning, I hope that you can say that the things you pray about really are the things you care about. It doesn't hurt to have a prayer list. It's a great reminder of what you should be praying for, what you want to be praying for. But make sure the things on your list are meaningful. That you're not leaving out sections of your life because you forget about them, because you think maybe God doesn't care about them, or maybe because you don't want God's input. If you know there's sin in your life, maybe you'd prefer not to pray, "Lord, keep me from temptation, deliver me from evil," because you know the changes you would have to make in your life. As you pray, as you speak to God, do not give God the silent treatment. Do not treat your relationship to Him like that one leaf plant pushed off in the corner. Draw near to God. Lift up His holy name. Pray that He would provide the needs for your life and for those around you, and pray that He would bring us to perfection. Let us pray together. Lord, our Father, God Almighty, who has brought us into His family, thank You for making us sons and daughters. Lord in heaven, though You are separate, You draw near, and we praise You for that. Hallowed be Your name. May Your love and mercy endure forever. You are an awesome God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, transform this world. Let me be Your hands. Send Your Spirit upon us today, we pray, and use us. Use us to make this world more like the one to come. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, it is only you who can provide for us. We thank you for your many blessings. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lord, give us a spirit of forgiveness. Help me to remember and to forgive the sins that I have suffered. And Lord, thank you for your forgiveness of the sins I have committed. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, bring to each of us a holy mind, a mind focused on you, and deliver us from the evil one. We await that day, Lord. Quickly come. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.